This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, Snurkbulls. You may already know the bad news. Our live show was postponed. But the good news is that the show has been rescheduled for Sunday, February 26th at 2 p.m. Pacific. And you can still be part of the fun. In-person tickets are completely sold out, but you can buy a ticket to watch the live stream at dynastytypewriter.com. Cheryl and I can't wait to share our nonsense with you all. So again, the new time is 2 p.m. Pacific on February 26th, and you can get your tickets now at dynastytypewriter.com for the streaming show.
Hey, TK.
Hey, Cheryl.
Oh.
Hey, Cheryl. Hey.
The enthusiasm is overwhelming.
Yeah. We need to curb it.
We need to curb it. TK, we cover a lot of... Listen, this one is a little racy.
Yeah.
So if you've got little snurkbulls, you need to...
Cover their eyes.
Cover their eyes.
When you listen to this podcast, this episode, cover your eyes. Because Cheryl talks about never being nude.
Between the two of us... One of us would do a Playboy spread, and one of us wouldn't.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to listen to find out
which
one. Let's get right into it. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Pamela, a Love Story.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Well, hello, Tig.
Hello, Cheryl.
How you feeling?
Doing a lot better. I had another little fun stint in the hospital for three days.
I know. We were supposed to do our live show, and then it's like, what,
I know.
Tig?
I know. It's so crazy. And I told Stephanie, I am 1,000,000%, and I've said this before, but I am really never going to step foot in a hospital again.
Ugh,
in my life.
They are the worst. And it's always impossible to get out, isn't it? Once you get in, they do not want to let you go.
Yeah, I truly, every time I go to the hospital, I think, I always assume I'm like creating something.
What do you mean?
Like I've been in the hospital a lot over the years. Mm. And I just start to think, gosh, am I a hypochondriac? And then it's like, well, no, there is something really wrong.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel a little crazy.
Yeah.
I think it gets confusing because I work very hard to try and be healthy.
Yeah.
And then my body just, it's very sensitive.
Yeah.
And things go awry. And I will show up thinking, okay, well, maybe there's not really anything wrong with me, and I don't know what this is, And then it turns out there is something wrong. And then they're adding days. And I'm like, how is this possible?
It's hard to get answers, too, in there, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But listen, if our listeners work in the medical field, we thank you for your work. But it's just when you're the patient, it's just like, when's the doctor coming? And then they come. I remember I was at the hospital once. They would come at 5 in the morning, and I would be sound asleep. And there's just a group of them around my bed. They're like, Miss Hines, how are you feeling? I'm like, what? Where am I? What is happening? And they're like, all right, we'll see you later.
Well, that's the thing is you don't get any rest in hospitals. No. They come in and check your vitals all day
and all night. That
little
cuff going off all the time.
Yeah.
No, you don't get any rest. And they're like, you just need to rest. It's like, I would love to.
Yeah, I would love to, please.
Give me some space, people.
Yeah. So anyway, but I'm doing better, and
you look great.
You do.
You look great. I don't know if it's your concealer and your blush.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's probably my rouge.
And your lip gloss is popping.
My rouge. I didn't shower, as I told you,
and it looks good.
I'm having a hard time taking this compliment, but
take it, accept it.
Maybe you just think I look good because I'm not in the hospital.
I don't think so. I think I can distinguish between you looking good and you not so great.
And how are you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing great.
You look good, too.
Thank you. I feel good today. I'm knocking on wood because things change in an instant. but today I feel really good.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah. All right. Well, shall we just jump in to Pamela?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, today we are talking about Pamela, A Love Story. It's a 2022 documentary directed by Ryan White. Featuring interviews and journal entries, the film explores the life of Pamela Anderson, her career as a model and actress, and her infamous marriage to Tommy Lee. Pamela, A Love Story is available to watch on Netflix. Okay, let me ask you this. Did you watch the show that they did?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
I don't watch anything.
No, you don't. You barely even watch the documentaries that we set up.
I watched this one.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was very much looking forward to watching this. Also, a friend of mine produced this documentary.
Oh.
Yeah. But I wrote her and I was like, could you get us Pamela Anderson? And she wrote me and she said that she's reached out to publicity. So if Pamela does grace us with her presence, we'll have to do one of those follow-up episodes where we just strictly talk to and interview her.
But hey, Pamela, I know she's listening.
Hey. Hello, Pamela.
Hello, Pamela.
So I watched this.
Okay. People are loving this.
Did you watch the TV series?
Yeah.
You did.
So I felt like I knew a lot of this stuff, and I shouldn't say that because it wasn't an authorized, which is interesting because when I watched it, I kind of thought, oh, I just figured Pamela and Tommy Lee. I figured that they must have been involved, but I didn't Google it.
Which, as we all know, Google is where all of the answers are to everything.
There's no way to know. So the documentary begins with Pamela Anderson watching old tapes of her and Tommy Lee, and she wonders if that was her time to be in love and where to find that feeling now. I mean, I know we've talked about this before, like people that just have stacks and stacks of tapes and diaries and magazine covers, and what do you do with all that stuff?
I have a good chunk of things, and I call it my time capsule.
Yeah.
And I love opening my time capsule.
You do?
And sorting through and being like, oh my gosh, this and that. And then I don't feel attached to some things anymore and I get rid of them. And then other things I've forgotten about. And
you're
I don't know what that is.
Somebody's going to be so interested in this one day. I look at stuff and I'm like, I don't know who's going to be interested in this.
So you have some time capsule-y stuff?
I have some. You know what? One of my favorite ones, and I've probably told this story before, but one of my...
Let's hear it again.
Let's bluebell this to death. When I was going to college at University of Central Florida. I was majoring in television, and Seinfeld was coming. Have I told you this before? He was coming for our homecoming.
I don't know, Cheryl. Bluebell or no Bluebell.
We don't know.
I don't listen to you. Yeah.
If you've heard this before, just skip forward. This was before Seinfeld was on, but he was a big headliner, and he was, and I got an interview with him, and I only had like 5 minutes. Like, I don't think he really wanted to do this interview. And Thomas,
I can confirm without talking to him that he didn't want to do that interview.
Same. Thomas, have I told this story before?
You have. I just remembered. But please go on.
And just to be clear, there's no world where Jerry isn't also sharing this story over and over on repeat in his life.
He loves this story. Hey, Jerry, hey. You know, he's listening right now.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I only had one camera. I had to set it up in the gym. I only had one camera operator. But I really wanted a close-up of Jerry, you know. Mm. So I had the camera on him the whole time. And sure. I'm asking him all these questions. And mm-hmm. And then he left. And then I turned the camera around. Yeah. And then I did all of my questions and my reactions. So this poor other student who was the camera operator is just filming me going, Jerry, that's hilarious. Let me ask you another thing. It was so ridiculous. And so I only mention it because somewhere, somehow in my house, there's a 3/4 VHS of mm-hmm. just Jerry and then just me. I'm sure I edited it together at some point, but.
Well, I think that you should open your time capsule. Mm,
try to find it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so a lot of this documentary was like we're watching Pamela watch videotapes.
Mm. Yeah.
With her sons. Who were so adorable.
I was about to say, and I told Stephanie this last night, that even if it's not referenced in this documentary, which it was referenced, that Pamela and Tommy were off the hinges, okay?
Yeah.
And that is proof that even if people or a couple are not completely living and walking the straight and narrow parental figure roles,
yeah,
you can still raise remarkable
kids.
And I don't know these guys.
No.
Maybe I have no idea what they're up to. They just seem.
They seem so.
So stellar.
Rounded.
And I was telling Stephanie, I was like,
smart.
I hope our sons are that cool.
I know.
And I loved how tight they were with their mother. That they're like. And I guess some people could be like, oh, that's inappropriate to be talking about or looking at footage of that type with your parent or your children. But to me, I felt like it was
supportive,
actually appropriate.
Yeah.
And it was actually indicative of how close they are.
Yeah.
That it's not taboo. It's not a secret. It's not nobody's hiding anything. And I think that that's where problems come up in relationships, and when there isn't an openness, when there isn't an acknowledgement of what life was and what life is and what the past was and people's real stories, that's when it gets convoluted and messy.
I know, but their story was so much about wild sex that it was sort of hilarious at times that the families just gathered around to watch.
Of course, there was wild sex stories, but it also mixed in was devastation and love. And that's really whatever's happening in life. You just want to know what is really happening.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the truth?
Yeah, yeah.
And as long as people are communicating and they're connecting, so what?
Yeah.
It is my feeling.
Yeah.
And so I was telling Stephanie, I was like, you have to watch this movie because mainly I just loved how much those boys love their mother.
I was
and
very
how much she
sweet.
Loves him, them. And it really was, whatever. I know there's so much more to talk about.
No, but I always think it's a beautiful reflection on somebody when you meet their kids and their kids are, you know, great people. It's like, oh,
yeah,
wow, you did, you did something right.
And I think the something right is the connection, is the communication,
yeah, and
is
the honesty.
Not hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah, is the honesty. Yeah. And that's what it seems was done right.
Yeah. That being said, there were moments when I was like, I don't think
of course.
My kids would want to be gathered around watching some of this. But they did. But you're right, because that's what they grew up with, and that's who their parents are. And
that's who their parents are. That's what it was, and there were no secrets.
Yeah.
Look, if I had a whole documentary of every moment of my life.
Your lovemaking?
My lovemaking.
Would you gather the family around?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy.
Okay. So, listen. So, it starts out.
We have to take a break.
Oh, no. Come on. I just said it starts out.
I know, but it's
this is bad.
Cheryl, okay. You're always reading the outline, and then Thomas. I feel like Thomas is to blame. I feel like he waits till your head goes down to read, and then he lifts. I found that this must be the case. So we have to take a break, and we will be right back to discuss
Pamela,
a love story.
Yes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And we are back on Tig and Cheryl True Story to talk about Pamela, a love story.
Okay, so I was just about to launch in. I mean, people don't know anything yet because it doesn't matter. Anyway.
Well, and people won't know anything by the end of this episode. We discuss this every week.
I know. And some of our reviews are like, somehow I know less about this topic than before they started. Okay, so it starts out with Pamela, and she's riding around on a lawnmower.
On a tractor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, around the yard of her childhood home in Ladysmith, British Columbia, Canada. I forgot she was Canadian. I mean, I don't know that I forgot. I don't know that I ever knew it.
Well, I knew it.
Oh.
And I forgot.
Oh, okay.
And now I'll never forget it.
Uh-huh. Okay. And she's back in Ladysmith.
Mm-hmm.
That's where she grew up. And it was a small place. And her parents were very, I mean, the way she described them, they would fight. It sounds like they would physically fight. And then the next minute they were making out on the table.
Yeah. So this clearly runs in the family.
it's a love style.
Yeah, it's a love style of a fighting and a biting, and then
and then a lot of
kissing,
making up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
a lot of
my
national headlines.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're gonna bring this up or not, but what I also loved about the documentary was the fact that she had absolutely no makeup on.
I know. We should talk about it. It was really interesting and seemed brave.
I mean, that's hilarious that it calls for bravery to not wear makeup. I do it every day. I'm one of the bravest people alive.
But I mean, her whole identity has been that made up face and her body. It's interesting when you first see her, you're like, whoa, this is the first time I've ever seen her face.
Yeah, I was into it. And I kept thinking, oh, I bet this is just this one
shot.
Little moment.
Me
and
too.
And then it's not. She didn't have a stitch of makeup on.
She's freckles.
Yeah, and her clothes are not form-fitting.
No, they're like flowy white dresses. Yeah.
But I was into it because it's like, this is, of course, if you're going to get as vulnerable and open as she is, mm-hmm. I just thought it was such a great decision.
Yeah, I did too.
To go with that.
I did too. It's fun to see her. Is that a stupid thing to say? It's fun to see her without makeup. But it is. There's something, where you're like, well, yeah, she's a person.
Exactly.
Because for so long, she was this larger-than-life character.
It's interesting to be just coming off of the Dolly Parton documentary where we also discussed how people that knew her for years and considered themselves close to her never saw her without all of her makeup and fully pulled together.
Yeah, dressed
and
with
that
the wig.
Would be interesting.
I know,
to see.
That's what I was hoping with Dolly. I just wanted to see her like in jeans and a t-shirt and her hair.
But that's what's so incredible about the Pamela doc is they gave you that.
They gave us that. Yeah, and she was she's very forthcoming and open, and it's really, it's great to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, she has a sad childhood. She said she was molested by her babysitter for years. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it starts out with her talking about this and saying that she was so mad at the babysitter that she hoped she'd die.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, the babysitter died in a car accident. And she spent a lot of time thinking, oh, my God, I somehow have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Which, of course, that's not how the universe works.
Some people think it is.
Well, it's feelings aren't facts.
That's right. But Google is.
Google is so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
She was always drawn to bad boys. She said,
"You and me both, Pamela." You and me both.
Her first boyfriend pushed her out of a moving car and tried to run her over. That is a red flag.
Yeah, well, she didn't stay with him.
No.
But she moved on to other bad boys.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
For me, that would be like, whoa, note to self. Maybe not the bad boys because they're rough. And I'm generalizing. I'm sure there are some bad boys out there that are lovely.
Mm-hmm. Like Mr. Thomas.
I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Like Thomas. And after graduating, she moved to Vancouver, which was a big deal. Her mom was very worried, like, don't ever go get off this island because it's crazy out there.
Well, and I loved that moment where she said that her mother was worried and said, well, it's connected to all the other land.
Right. Because like, she said something about like Texas or something. And she was like, I'm not going to Texas. And she goes, I know, but it's all connected.
It's all connected.
It's like,
The mother who's on a little island.
Okay. And then when she moved to Vancouver with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then she found out he was having an affair. Do you want to hear a clip of how she found out he was having an affair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then eventually I met somebody and I moved in with him and he was having an affair with somebody. When you see your boyfriend washing his penis in the sink, that's a sign that they're probably having an affair. And I wrote it down, washing penis in the sink. Suspicious. Looking back, it's funny. In the moment, you're horrified.
Yeah, she saw him washing his penis in a sink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's interesting because I don't know that I would go directly to an affair. I would be like, holy balls, what happened to your penis? Or would you be like, okay, one and one is two. I got this. You're having an affair.
I mean, I would it wouldn't be a good sign.
It is is not a good sign when you walk in and your boyfriend.
But to be fair, yeah. as a gay person, yeah. If I were with a man, I would want him to wash that
thing off
all the time.
Mm.
Yeah, I would just be like, if there was a day that went by that he was not scrubbing that in a sink, I would.
That's
I
when
would
you're.
Probably,
that's when you would be like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, I'd be like, why aren't you scrubbing that in the sink?
I like that. That's so much worse than a vagina, is it? No.
Well,
you feel like
I'm.
It's foreign to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're out there.
Penises.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another story.
That is a whole other story.
That's another ball of wax.
You like those.
I don't like them. I don't, they're fine. I mean, guys can't help it. That's part of they're not attractive by any means.
There's got to be some people that are like, those. I love those. Those are really
good
looking.
You got some nice.
Yeah.
Scrot sex.
Yeah.
I don't know that those words have ever come out of anybody's mouth. Okay. We really got on a... Anyway, listen.
This is a comedy podcast, if you're first joining us. Not hard-hitting. In fact, my co-host just snorted.
I did. And I regret it immediately. Okay. So... Okay, the penis in the sink. She broke up with him.
Yeah.
So then she goes to a football game, and she's a beautiful woman, of course, and she was a beautiful, mm-hmm. I don't know how old she was, 18, 19. And she was, they flashed her picture on the Jumbotron, mm-hmm. and she was, after that, Labatt beer.
Mm-hmm.
People went crazy. Just seeing her. And then the beer company contacted her and asked her if she wanted to do a commercial. And then everybody fell in love with her, and they all called her the Blue Zone Girl.
Now, I don't know why doesn't this happen to me? How come?
Have you
when
worn
I'm
a
with
beer?
My
a cut off
well,
beer shirt?
Regardless, you could put me in anything.
Yeah.
Just imagine, like you don't, you just use your imagination.
Yeah.
Put me in a beer t-shirt.
Yeah.
Put me in whatever you want to
put me
in.
Flash your face on the Jumbotron.
Right. Why, when my face has appeared on a Jumbotron, when I'm at a game with my sons watching baseball, why isn't my phone ringing?
Mm.
Why is there no product that needs an exhausted, sickly lesbian?
As their spokesperson.
Over 50. Yeah. Why? What is the product that calls for my face?
You know, it's out there. You know? It's out there. And I'm.
But what is
I
it?
I don't
like,
have an answer for you right now.
Exhausted, sickly, titless lesbian.
God. Something that has a lot of caffeine in it, I would think.
No, I don't drink caffeine.
Oh, maybe that's the problem.
I don't know, but I would like my Jumbotron moment.
You're going to have it. You're going to get it.
Thank you.
And so from there, Pamela gets a call from Playboy to be on the cover of the October 89 edition.
Again, where's my call?
Are you dying to do a Playboy spread?
I would do Playboy.
You
honestly,
would?
When I first after I had cancer, I thought that would be so cool. If they took pictures of me with a double mastectomy, and it is something actually my reps pursued, and it was a hard pass.
Oh,
well. You're like, no, thank you.
Okay.
No, thank you.
So Playboy is not looking for that. Okay.
Nor is Labatt's.
Labatt's is whatever. Not looking for that. You're going to find. You're going to find the thing. We're going to find the thing.
I guess if you think in terms of, whatever somebody might use Yoda for,
come on,
to sell a product,
that's not true.
Is
on.
What they might. We have to take a break,
oh,
and we
no.
will be back on Tig and Cheryl
True Story.
Story.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available. On digital, Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to to watch, Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And we are back okay. on Tig and Cheryl True Story, talking about Pamela, a love story. Great documentary.
She gets to the Playboy Mansion, mm-hmm. and there are posters of naked women on the walls, and everyone's partying, and they dye her hair bright blonde. And yep. she talks about she always wished that she was beautiful as a young girl, and she remembers seeing the women in her dad's Playboy magazines and admiring the other kids at school, and she felt ashamed of her body. And she thought that mm-hmm. that was tied into her abuse, you know, mm-hmm. which, of course, makes a lot of sense.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Okay. And she also says that she was raped by a 25-year-old when she was 12, and she was staying at her friend's condo, and she didn't tell anyone. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that those are traumatic experiences that could definitely shape the way you think about your body and your sexuality.
Life, and also when people are abusive and you don't feel like you have the power or control to
do anything about it.
Yeah.
Even confront people to say anything, to tell anybody.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, even if you say something, sometimes there's still a force that you are, you know,
fighting against.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that enrages me the most. It's like when people have gotten in trouble for assault or harassment, or and people's response is sometimes like, well, why didn't the girl just walk out of the room when the guy pulled his pants down? It's like, well, first of all, why are you even asking that question?
Right.
Second of all, if somebody has a history of trauma and abuse,
right.
they might be freezing up
yeah,
in that
they're
moment.
Not feeling empowered in any way whatsoever.
Yeah. yeah. And how dare you say something yeah. so casual
yeah.
as why not just walk out or say something, make a joke, make fun of them. It's like you shut your face.
Yeah. That's not how it works. No.
No.
And what's interesting about Pamela is so she has all these issues and these ideas about her body and who she is. And then when she started doing the photo shoots for Playboy, somehow that was very freeing to her. And she just loved mm-hmm. being naked and taking pictures. And she felt like she was good at it, which she mm-hmm. was.
Yeah. That's where I feel like if Labatt's or, you know, some other company, Playboy, yeah. like if they, I don't think they would get a comfortable photo shoot with me. Like, say I was on the Jumbotron and I got discovered.
Yeah.
Even now when I'm fully clothed on a red carpet.
Yeah.
It is the most painful. Awkward thing you've ever seen in your
to
life.
To pose for pictures.
Oh, my God.
Get it's like, Tig, over here, blow us a kiss. Did they ever say
yeah,
that to you?
I'm like, no. Oh, no.
They'll say that no. to me. Blow us a kiss over the shoulder.
A kiss. No.
They don't say
they
over the shoulder.
This is what they do. They go, Tig, look over here, please, one more time. Just 1 second. It's like they hate me. Because I just
you don't
I'm
give them anything.
Looking away.
You don't give
I'm
them like, anything.
Please get me out of here.
You don't blow
please
them a kiss. You don't
here.
Give them an over
no.
the shoulder.
Maybe I'll start blowing
oh,
kisses over
I
my
think
shoulder.
You, I think it's too late. I think you've taken a turn, and then now you're just gonna look insane. But it's worth a try. It's worth a
yeah.
try.
Yeah.
Okay. And then at one point, Marilyn Grabowski asked Pamela to stay in L.A. and be a playmate for Hefner. Mm-hmm. And her mom says, yeah, you should. I didn't
go
do Playboy
it.
Because nobody ever asked me.
Mm-hmm. Would you do Playboy, or would you have ever done Playboy?
I'm not kind of a never nude. I don't enjoy romping around nude by myself, much less in front of people. So
when you're home alone, you're
I'm not ironing naked, or I'm not. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not even in my underwear. I need some coverage.
Okay, so maybe Playboy could put out a coverage issue. Where you're doing like sexy poses and kissing over your shoulder, but you're in a fully
turtleneck.
Covered.
Yeah, my turtleneck and my corduroys. Snow and pants. It's like, hey, everybody.
Hey, girl, hey, imagine what's under this. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it.
Don't think about it. Okay, so she's really, she's coming into her own, if you will. She seems very at home. It didn't really go into the playmate of it all. That's always...
Yeah. She has more interesting stuff going on than just... Yeah.
Then she gets a call from Baywatch. They called her 11 times. They wanted her to audition for the show. And she said, that was too intimidating. And they wanted me to go to Marina Del Rey, which is a town in L.A. on the beach. It's not that far away. It's like people live in Marina Del Rey and work in downtown L.A. It's like, but she thought it was too intimidating to drive to Marina Del Rey. And then she finally shows up for an audition. They cast her. It becomes the number one show worldwide.
Did you ever watch that?
I didn't. Did you?
Yeah.
You did?
Do you?
Do I think that you watched?
Do you imagine there's a day that I'm like, I can't hang out, I'm watching Baywatch?
I don't even know when Baywatch was on. I must have been doing some. I mean, listen, Baywatch was not known for its... it was only known. It wasn't known for the stories.
Look, I lived in California.
Yeah,
I could just go to the beach and watch people run around. And I don't need to. Suit.
You didn't need to tune in.
I didn't need to sit at home and watch people run around on a beach that's right down the street.
So she becomes a superstar. She dates Scott Baio.
It feels like he's the first stop for everyone.
The Scott Baio stop. I'm going to date Scott Baio.
He feels like the entrance.
That was the
easy entrance point.
The gateway drug.
He's the gateway drug.
Yeah. He's not anymore.
No, he's not the person where when you get famous, you go date Scott Baio. No. But he feels like somebody... When you watch these documentaries, as soon as somebody gets to town, their first boyfriend is Scott Baio.
No, you know who it is now is Pete Davidson. Doesn't it seem like that?
Yeah, but he also dates people that have been in Hollywood for a long time.
That's true.
He feels like he dates the top
established
level.
Yeah, already established.
Who is the person? Is it me?
It's you. People come to town. They get one show, something like Baywatch, and the next thing I know, there you are with
Tig Notaro.
At the, I'm trying to think of one nightclub. I can't think of one in town. Where would you go with your hot date? To the Viper Room? Do people still go to the Viper Room?
I don't know. I don't even know where that is.
Thomas, do people go to the Viper Room? Is it still open?
Thomas hangs out at the Viper Room?
Thomas doesn't know.
I go to coffee shops.
I am a bad boy.
Thomas is such a bad boy. You go to a coffee shop?
I go to coffee shops.
In your khakis. Yeah. Okay. So then she starts dating Kelly Slater. And then she meets Tommy Lee at a New Year's Eve party in 1994. They drank Goldschlager. By the way, Goldschlager.
I don't even know what that is.
Come on. It's a
I don't.
It's a schnapps that has gold flakes in it, which is weird. Everything about that is weird.
Well, I would say the more obvious weirdness is the word Schlager. is Schlager.
Goldschlager.
I'm home sipping my Schlager.
My Goldschlager. Well, by the way, that was huge. Goldschlager was huge. I don't even know if they make that anymore. In 1994. I had my fair share of Goldschlager. And it felt very fancy.
I have never had a sip of Goldschlager, and I look like I grew up at the same time as Yoda.
I am curious if they even make it anymore. And it's like, what's the other one?
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know. What's the other awful one that people drink, Thomas?
Jägermeister.
Jägermeister.
I've heard of that.
You are so wild. Okay. Anyway, she goes to Cancun for a photo shoot. He says, I'm going to go and find you there. And he does. Mm. They see each other at a nightclub. They take ecstasy at La Boom. That's the nightclub. It's La Boom. And the next day, they got married on the beach. And their wedding party was...
Classic love story. She hopped up on Goldschlager.
She was in a bikini. He was in his shorts. And it was sad because she was dating Kelly Slater at the time. And she had to call him and say, you know, not only do I need to break up with you, but I just got married. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Pamela also thought that Tommy's full name was Tommy Lee Jones.
I think we thought...
Tommy.
Remember that episode we did a couple of years ago where we thought Tommy Lee Jones was Tommy Lee?
And it was like, wow.
This must be a common issue.
It's got to be. So I like that he's like, no, actually, my name is not Tommy Lee Jones. Because she said, what's my last name now? And he said, Lee. And she said, oh, Tommy, is it Lee Jones? And she was like, he was like, no. I'm not Tommy Lee Jones. But this is
Pamela
what she
Jones.
Finds out after they get married. Okay, so now everybody's going crazy because these two are married. And what band was he in? Motley Crue.
Motley Crue. Okay.
So people are going crazy about it. And they are, you know, these two, they seem to be enjoying the moment.
Oh, the
limelight.
In the spot. Yeah.
The sex, super sexy. And they're like... You know, a lot of tongue on the red carpet.
Cheek and...
Yeah, you name it.
Licking each other's faces.
Yeah, that's what they want to see on the red carpet, Tig. They don't want to see you, like, just going awkwardly down the carpet, giving them nothing. These guys were giving the people what they wanted.
Well, the other night, here comes a braggadocious alert, but...
I'm getting ready.
Thomas was with me at my premiere of the Netflix hit movie, Your Place or Mine. And Thomas was walking behind the photographers yelling, Tig, look over here, Tig. And I was, he and a gaggle of other people. And I was like, please keep doing that. That's actually helpful for me because it was making me laugh so hard.
Well, that is a braggadocious alert that you just started a movie.
Number one movie in 63 countries around the world.
Shitballs. I need to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't had time. So now they're married and she's doing the film Barbed Wire and she finds out she's pregnant and then she sadly has a miscarriage and she gets through the barbed wire shoot and everything seems to be, you know, back on track and she gets pregnant again and she has Brandon Lee, who's so sweet.
Yeah.
And Pamela and Tommy have a safe in their garage that gets stolen during the construction that's being done on their home. And then a couple weeks later, they receive a tape in the mail with footage of them having sex.
Yeah, why did somebody send the tape back to them? That's what I didn't understand.
There are a few things that I don't understand about it. I guess they were extorting. When they sent the tape, was there something that said, give us $2 million and you can have your tape back? Or we don't know.
I don't know. I didn't understand.
There's no way to know. The tape gets mass-produced and sold worldwide. And on the first night out after having Brandon, they fought with the paparazzi and Tommy got pepper sprayed. Mm-hmm. It was just a mess. You know, it was just... Yeah. And there was definitely a big legal dispute over this tape and their right to privacy. And, you know, people were selling the tape of them having sex, and they're not... They didn't have their permission, and they also weren't giving them any money. Although
they did offer $5 million, but they didn't want the money. They wanted the tape back.
Right.
What about you? Would you take the $5 million, or would you be like, give me the tape?
Well, I would. I mean, $5 million is a lot of money. I never saw the sex tape. Did you see the sex tape? No.
No.
No. I remember it going around at the time.
I heard about it, but I wasn't like, how do I get my hands on somebody's sex tape? But I'm asking you.
Oh, would I take?
Would you take the $5 million?
Well, of course
I
would want the tape back.
Right, but you have to choose. Do you want the tape back or do you want the $5 million, Cheryl?
I want the tape back. But if the question is, it's going to go out anyway?
Okay, what if you could stop it? Would you stop it, or would you be like, eh, send it to the press?
Well, you're talking to a never nude. If I were Pamela and Tommy, it's hard because their whole identity was about super charged up sex and free with their bodies, and that was their whole seemed to be anyway their whole. And of course, that's not the same as having.
Well, that's what she was talking
intimacy
about
with your husband.
Yeah. Well, she was saying, you know, when they were upset about it, and people's response was like, "Why do you care? You were in Playboy.
Right.
You dress like this. You do this. Right. You were in this." And it's like, well, that was consensual.
Right.
This is not.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, how about you? Do you want the tape back, or do you want the $5 million?
Well, I don't know that anybody would be circulating my tape.
Let's say they were. Let's say people are going crazy.
They're not going to. Nobody's going to circulate. Then somebody's going to be like, oh, God, look what's on this tape. Oh, Jesus. And then they would just, like, tape over it with Blippi or something.
Blippi? What's Blippi?
That's like a children's show. Oh, they would just be like,
then we can use this tape. Okay, so now she's fighting in court, and people are being very disrespectful and rude and mean, and it was stressful. And then she was pregnant with her second child, and she just decided she didn't want to fight anymore.
Yeah, I didn't even remember that there was like the fall. I didn't even know what was the fallout with her and Tommy. I didn't know he had like been abusive. I didn't know he went to jail.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah. Tommy, now she's working on Baywatch. She's got the kids. Mm-hmm. Tommy's getting more and more jealous. He would just go to Baywatch and watch her. And then she had, you know, she had a kissing scene with David Chokichi.
I don't know who
he's
that is.
He's really cute. He's a friend. And he's a love.
Braggadocious alert!
And it was all getting worse and worse. And then, she calls 911. Tommy attacked her while she was holding her 6-week-old. And then they arrested Tommy. And she filed for divorce. Mm-hmm. Then she started working with PETA, and, you know, she felt empowered, like, using her body to do PETA ads, you know, where she was wearing nothing but lettuce cups.
A leaf. Yeah. You know what? It's funny because a few years ago, Stephanie and I, you know, it's no secret, we're vegan as well. Mm-hmm. And we were at a PETA event, and Stephanie reminded me recently, we were standing next to Pamela and Tommy.
Braggadocious alert!
It was Paul McCartney was live in concert at some venue. And actually, Thomas was my assistant at the time. And Thomas, remember when I had sent you out to get me some nice fancy vegan dress-up shoes? It was for that event. Mm. And what's odd is that, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I don't remember Pamela being there. I remember Tommy being there. But this was after they were apart. Mm. So I wonder if she was there. Because I for sure saw him, but we were standing in a crowd watching Paul McCartney, and it seemed like I would remember Pamela
Anderson. It does. You know, I worked with Pamela on...
Brandon-docious alert!
And I use the term worked with loosely. Mm-hmm. We were on Match Game together. She was very, very sweet. She was really nice. Very down to earth and, like, you know. Actually, I have a picture. I have a picture that I'll put on social mm-hmm. media. I know you guys will go crazy for it.
They will.
They will. The Snurkbulls want to see it. Okay, mm-hmm. So it was interesting because when in this documentary, when she's watching these tapes with Dylan and Brandon, you know, Brandon said that he wishes that she would have monetized the tape. Because she mm-hmm. could have made money from it. Apparently, she's not great with money. She says she's not great with money.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting, too. Like, it's weird. I would just think that she would have all the money in the world.
Well, yeah. And what about from even divorces?
Wouldn't she have gotten some cash? She married Chris Rock.
She married Chris Rock?
I mean, Kid Rock.
Oh, my God, Cheryl. Nobody can rely on this podcast. We are so misinformed.
Please take that out. I know Thomas won't. He never edits anything out, but I wish, because I said it with such conviction, too.
I know. I was like,
you were
really?
Like, she married Chris Rock. I don't remember that. Sorry, Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
She moved to Detroit. I don't think they were married for very long.
It doesn't seem like she probably had long marriages.
No, I don't think anybody. So. She's had a lot of marriages. Mm-hmm. And then she married a poker player named Rick Solomon. Uh-huh. And then he had a drug issue. Yeah. She found his crack pipe in the Christmas tree.
I mean, I don't know a lot about crack, but why... Why does it go in the Christmas tree?
It was odd to me, too, because she kept saying in the Christmas tree, which is like...
Yeah. Like on a branch?
On a branch in the tree?
Anyway,
Pamela, let us know.
If you could, let us know the details on that. Yeah, that's our one question. Crack pipe in the Christmas tree. Okay, go ahead.
And then, interestingly enough, Rick Solomon got sober, I think, and mm-hmm. then they mm-hmm. remarried, right? Yep. And then they
barely.
And then they got divorced again.
Yeah.
Then she married. Oh, who's Dan?
Was he the Canadian?
Oh, was he the Canadian? That
worked
oh, okay.
on her house.
So now, yeah. So this is recently.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'll marry this regular guy from Canada. Yep. Have a normal.
She didn't really say why, mm-hmm. did she? Say why they got divorced? None of our business. Well, yeah. She did a documentary.
Okay, so it's really our business. But I would imagine, you know, I think a lot of people do that where they go, oh, I've gone down this road. I've done this a million times. This is a road I've never been down. I'm going to just go for the safe, comfortable, good, what seems like
a norm.
Option.
Seems like a normal life.
Yeah.
But that didn't
But then
stick.
I would imagine that... She was feels restless. Like watching a clock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she was used to, listen, she's used to, you know.
Tommy Lee Jones. And Chris Rock.
Chris Rock. It's hard to find a normal guy after those two.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hulu released Pam and Tommy. And then that was very painful to Pamela. And she feels like she's now reliving that traumatic time all over again. And now she's feeling restless because she's moved to Canada to the property that she grew up on.
Yeah.
And her mom is there. And then she gets an offer to be on Broadway in Chicago.
Now, Cheryl, if we can just take a moment here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but a while back, I had teased that I had gotten an offer to do something. And it was to be in Chicago opposite Pamela Anderson.
Brandon-docious alert!
I was asked to be Billy Flynn And they were, you know, offering to give me dancing and singing lessons. And it was really interesting to watch Pamela get that as well. And I was so bummed because I remember Stephanie saying, if you take this job, you have to commit wholeheartedly to dancing and singing. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to do those things.
That's 1,000,000%.
You cannot walk out on a Broadway stage tongue in cheek or half-assing
it.
That's
true.
The people are there. Even if you are like a stunt casting moment to open a Broadway play, you have to walk out on the stage and give 1,000,000%.
That's true.
It's not cool.
That's true.
If you don't. And when she said that to me, because I would have been like, oh, I'll just, you know,
I'll be Billy Flynn.
The best I can.
Yeah.
And I'll
just hey, everybody, I'm trying my best.
Be funny. Uh-huh. Yeah. But when she said that, because Stephanie is such a Broadway and musical kind of gal.
Yeah.
When she said that to me, I was like, she's so right. And she said, if you do not have the time in your schedule to devote all of your efforts, then you need to pass on this. And I was like, damn it!
She scared you straight.
She did, but like that was the play.
I mean, oh my God, that's so crazy. That wasn't that long ago.
I know. And so I'm watching this documentary going, oh my God.
Oh.
I mean, I guess I could have maybe been in this documentary, but I was watching it thinking, she probably doesn't know this. She might not even know who I am on this planet.
Oh, she
but
knows.
I was
Pamela
watching
knows.
This.
Hey, Pamela, hey.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't
we'll
know.
See
but
when she
but
calls
I was
in.
Watching this going, this is insane.
That is so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is really funny. Well, Pamela did it. And she did what you were saying, what Stephanie was saying. Like, she gave it 100% and she did the dancing and the singing and she worked really hard and she got great reviews and the audience loved her. And
it's awesome.
Yeah. And so Pamela says that she doesn't feel like she's a victim and she's glad that her life happened the way it did. Mm-hmm. And she feels like she puts herself in crazy situations and she found a way to survive them. And when you were watching this, I mean, she said in so many words, right, that, like, she thinks Tommy Lee was the love of her life and she'll never find love like that.
It seems way more connected to her children.
Yeah.
That,
oh, right. The father
she was
of her children.
With this. Yeah. That like, she was with this man who is the father of her children. This is my understanding.
Yeah.
That she feels like that was her one real chance. And that's the unit that was supposed to work in her life. Mm. And because it didn't work, that she can't find it elsewhere.
Mm.
I understand what she's saying. I think she will find somebody.
Yeah.
I do think. I think that can't be everyone's one chance. I do imagine there's somebody that will understand and appreciate Pamela.
Who she really
and,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. So that's the story of Pamela.
I really enjoyed it.
Are you ready for some final thoughts, Tig?
Yes.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not. Did you?
No, I didn't cry. Who were you attracted to? I mean, there were a lot of attractive people in this documentary. This is not...
Yeah.
This is... I'm not even going to name a documentary where there are unattractive people, but... This is.
Yeah, there are some documentaries.
There are some
where
that it's real tough to find even one.
Yeah. I would say probably Pamela.
Yeah, she's an attractive lady. I'm going to have to say, and it's awkward because we're friends, David Chokichi. He's
David,
so cute.
David, did you hear that?
He's just very cute.
Her sons are also so cute.
They're so cute.
And then, when I was talking about the documentary to Stephanie, she was like, Tommy Lee is so cute. And I was like, yeah, duh. That's, like,
that's
the thing.
That's the problem. He is, like, there were times in it when he was so cute. And then other times when you're like, ooh, what the hell? okay. It's time for True Story Talkback. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I want to reiterate what I said before. Pamela.
Yeah.
If you're listening, she and of course she is. Hey, I mean, Pamela, who isn't listening to this podcast?
Hey, Tommy Lee. Pamela, hey. Hey, Tommy Lee Jones.
There is someone out there for you. 1,000,000%. And it's not going to be who you imagine.
Mm.
It's not. It's just, it's not. It, you know, I worked with Stephanie on a movie. I didn't know that was my wife a couple of years down the road.
The best is yet to come, Pamela.
Yeah. What's your talk back?
That was it. The best is yet to come, Pamela.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, whew. That is all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about Ask Dr. Ruth on Hulu. Tig, before we go, would you like to read some true fan mail?
Yes, please.
Nick writes, hey, Nick, hey.
Hey, Nick, hey.
Hey, Tig and Cheryl, hey. Following the end of my long-term relationship last year, I'm finally trying to put myself back out there and date again after thinking I had found my life partner at last. Dating apps are a total hellscape. I never even heard of that word, but I like it. Trying to connect in the digital darkness with so little to go on and so many dead ends and wrong turns. So there I am, and I find a great profile of someone attractive, and in the description, amongst the long list of common interests we excitedly happen to share, they write, Pivot.
No way.
Pivot. I think, could this be a little sign from the universe? On top of all these other great things, we both share a love of Tig and Cheryl. I summon up the courage and send a note. Hey there, how's it going? And get an instant response. Great, how are you? Okay, we're on. We're live. This is happening. Now it's time to turn on the charm with a little humor and prove I'm also a big true story fan. Without skipping a beat, I write, I'm well, thanks. Great profile. Pivot, huh? Like, like pivot over a couple of tart meanies? No national headlines on the first date. Ha ha. Oh my God. And hit send right away. Smiling in the delight of making a connection over our shared love of Tig and Cheryl, no less, I could just imagine our romantic future playing the latest episode on Monday evenings while we cook dinner together at the end of a long day, both having delayed the urge to listen so we can share the laughter. Agonizing. I'm so scared to read the rest of this.
Get to
it. Agonizing minutes go by before it finally, in painful obviousness, dawns on me. Maybe pipe is a little more common than I thought. The embarrassment sinks in, my cheeks flush, and I sit there waiting. I write again in an attempt to save face. Don't know if you meant pibit, like Tig and Cheryl always say on their podcast. If you're familiar with it. Oh my God, this is turning into... I'm getting flop sweat just reading it. I can see their profile remains online, but a full and very slow 15 minutes go by before I finally receive a brief and conclusive, play it by ear, have a great day. Oh no.
Oh my
I burst
gosh.
Out laughing, imagining what on earth this person could have thought I meant by pie a bit over a couple of tart meanies, no national headlines. And I consoled myself. With the saving grace that, at least on top of it all, I hadn't also added to it by calling them a snurkbull. God.
Well,
hey, single
how
life,
interesting.
Hey, sigh.
If he had written back saying, scram clown.
That is the saddest. Oh, my God. That really made me laugh. Oh, no.
Boy.
Oh, just the glee of writing no national headlines on the first date. There's just silence. Oh, boy. Okay. Listen, that's going to do it for today. Ooh, that made my cheeks hurt. Oh, that made my cheeks hurt. Okay, I got to relax. Tig, is there anything that you would like to promote?
Sure, Cheryl. Mm-hmm. I'm in two new movies this month.
Oh, we're hanging out,
on Netflix. Your Place or Mine with mm-hmm. Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher. Mm-hmm. And then that's already out. And again, number one in 63 countries around the world.
Well,
and then
braggadocious alert.
Another movie coming out on February 24th called We Have a Ghost with David Harbour from Stranger Things and Jennifer Coolidge and Anthony Mackie, a whole gaggle of people. I also have a few extra tour dates that have been added to my website because I'm preparing to record my next stand-up special.
Ooh, exciting. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, my stuff is the same. It's we don't
Curb
we
your
don't
enthusiasm do. And stuff.
We're shooting. I'm in the middle of shooting another season of Curb, but it's not out yet. Well, but you can watch other stuff on HBO. Okay.
And just to remind our listeners that there is a little Tig and Cheryl nod in the first line, my first line of Your Place or Mine.
Ooh.
So watch that on Netflix and write in if you catch the Tig and Cheryl nod that I riffed solely
for our
fans.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay, good. All right. That's fantastic.
Okay, well, should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sesson. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.